You're listening to the Elevate Podcast, and I'm your host, Robert Glazer. Join me as I talk to world-class performers about how they build their capacity and reach greater heights in leadership, business, and life, and how you can do the same. Welcome to the Elevate Podcast and another edition of Weekend Conversations. Each week, we'll take a deeper dive into an article or interview I shared during the week, often a Friday forward. And joining me to do this is Mick, co-producer of the Elevate Podcast. How's it going, Mick?
Hey, Bob. It's good. How are the mountains?
Mountains are good. Had some spring skiing this week for my son's break, and ready to get back to work.
Cool. Well, it's good to be recording with you today. What are we talking about?
So this week, we're going to talk about the latest Friday Forward, which was called Experience Beliefs.
So the premise of this post is that when we encounter beliefs that we disagree with, whether it's in conversation or online in some cases, we tend to only see the belief and not always the person behind it. And often disagreements stem from differences in lived experiences that shape who we are. So why did you focus on this topic for the post this week?
Yeah, I had a note about this, and you know, it stemmed out of a conversation that I had had a few months ago, and also seen a note that said, I don't remember who said it, but they said, you know, when you next time you hear about someone's opinion, you know, try to understand if that comes from something from their experience. And I've always sort of paid attention to that, but I think that sort of crystallized it for me. And I think, you know, since then, and even since that conversation, I've gotten more used to kind of asking a curious follow-up question, even particularly when it's a strong belief around, you know, where did that come from or what influenced you? And I think the stories behind that create a lot of empathy. And I saw, we could talk about it later, I saw a video of something about two people who are in violent disagreement about something, and actually sharing their stories, watching them sharing their stories, and it was a live thing, and it was actually part of a project on kind of crossing chasms and getting people to communicate more. And I think the stories behind, the experiences behind those beliefs created a lot of empathy, and it was a pretty powerful video.
So there's a distinction that you draw in the piece between someone who adopts a belief on a whim or to follow a popular social stance versus a person who has that same belief on the surface, but it's based on a core experience, a background, a principle. Why do you think this distinction is so meaningful?
Yeah, look, the bandwagon effect happens in all aspects of our life, and sports and otherwise. And in fact, with some of the stuff going on in the world now, I think there are people supporting things that they don't even fundamentally understand or don't know why. It just feels like the right thing's not even the right word. Sometimes it feels like the popular thing to do to join an opinion. But for some of the core held beliefs, I do think those come from a lot of deep experiences or fundamental, you know, aspects of one's life that is a lived experience and something where, again, it's hard to understand that person's perspective or why they believe that if you have not sort of walked a mile in their shoes or lived that. And I know we'll talk about it more a little bit later, but it's an interesting mental exercise to even think about some of our own beliefs. If I grew up in a different country, if I grew up in a different area, like what is the chance that I would, a different time, believe in this so deeply? And the answer is you probably wouldn't, or it'd be very different. And so you realize that circumstance and experience has a lot to do with our beliefs.
I think to be curious and to be aware of other people's lived experiences and how those might be the roots of what they believe is to be cognizant of the limits of your own experience. And I think that if you have, no matter what topic it's on, if it's a political belief, it's a social belief, if it's a professional belief in how you should conduct yourself in your career, it is often the case that there are things that we take for granted and think, I have always been told this, I have always experienced this. I don't really understand the idea that someone would have a totally opposite experience from mine that would create a totally opposite belief. And so it's interesting because this is a really good example of if you learn more about other people, you're also simultaneously learning about yourself.
Yeah, I think perspective is really important. I remember a conversation years ago with a friend of mine. We were having a dinner with a sort of business group I was in, actually with our spouses. And this person had come to this just having sold their business and had, you know, a meaningful outcome for them. And they were with their spouse and it happened to be that day. And we were still having the dinner that night and everyone was kind of congratulating them. And the spouse said, you know, the last time we were in that lawyer's office, you know, the same one we were kind of doing this deal, we were basically on the verge of bankruptcy and losing everything 8 years ago. And I remember that really sticking out to me because I think particularly, and again, my lived experience as an entrepreneur and talking to a lot of entrepreneurs, I think people tend to see these positive outcomes and they don't see all of the stuff that goes behind it and the stress and the broken marriages and the bankruptcies and all that stuff. And so I do remember that, like, you know, her recollection was more about, you know, was just remembering on how bad it had been. But to the outside, it would be like, hey, look at them. They're super lucky and all this stuff. And that's just wasn't the truth or anything close to the truth. I always like to say entrepreneurialism is very attractive in the rearview mirror.
It's interesting because that's not necessarily a point that's in the post, but I think it is related to the idea of envy and of jealousy. And you can't totally understand a person's present situation, whether it's their point of view or whether it's their status or their level of success. You can't have the full assessment of what that says about the person without understanding that everything that they went through along the way. I think it's interesting because, you know, there are people who know my friends know who you are. They know a certain level of success. One of my friends actually follows you on LinkedIn and occasionally sends me things that you post. And it is interesting when I talk to them about your career and sort of talk about the stuff that I wasn't working with you for, but know exists, where it was like the truly, truly punishing hours, like building this from scratch and, you know, having the smallest possible team and taking every like angry client call yourself. And it's interesting. There are so many missing pieces when you talk to someone, even if it's someone who you think that you know well, because all you're really seeing, if you don't try to look deeper, is what's on the surface.
Yeah. And the example that I saw in this video a couple months back was actually a discussion between two people around, and now I'm forgetting the state was it South Carolina that took the Confederate out of its flag?
South Carolina had a flag in there or flying at their capital and they took it down.
Yeah. So, you know, this was between a discussion between a white man and a black woman, and it was videotaped again for exactly this purpose. Who were caught kind of in the public taking very aggressive stances about this, and when they got down and had a discussion. Now it turns out, you know, this person felt in South Carolina that flag had been what a lot of, you know, his ancestors had fought for and lost their lives for and sort of put them in the family. And then, you know, the other person felt that flag is what their family had been attacked for and killed for and otherwise. And they had a very emotional discussion. And in the end, he agreed with her. But he agreed with her because he was almost in tears. And he said, look, I still have my belief and there's a reason why, but, you know, after hearing your story and sort of the damage that this has caused in your life and the fear and stuff it caused, I feel that so far outweighs my kind of experience. And it was just a really interesting moment to watch. I think it just exemplifies this, where they were super entrenched in their opinion and they were aggressive about it. And they, you know, they could have gone to blows, you know, if they were sort of brought in if each person had a drink and it was happened in a social kind of interaction or God forsake, you know, Twitter interaction, but in a real face-to-face and the organization had brought them face-to-face in conversation and the stories, it just completely changed the dynamic of the discussion. And they both actually had empathy for each other. And I just thought it was like a really good example of this.
So that's a really interesting case that relates to the theme of the piece, which is, there are some beliefs that whether it's right or wrong really comes down to a difference of opinion. There are even some beliefs that are very controversial that I tend to think that you can really say there is not an objectively correct way to think about this. But then the flip side of that is there are some cases where there are things like prejudices or beliefs that are considered hateful or support of a symbol that is considered hateful. And I think that you don't have to necessarily make excuses for people who have those types of prejudicial beliefs, but I think that you can still take the same approach that you would with a difference of opinion and attempt to change their mind and win them over to your point of view by coming with understanding rather than coming attempting to kind of dunk on them with like a cool speech or something like that. Because it, even if the antipathy for the point of view is earned and that there is reason to think of something that someone believes is really harmful, there is still, I think, a pragmatic or a productive question of what is actually going to change someone's mind and actually root out that harmful belief or behavior.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? 2 years ago, I bought a dual suspension mountain bike for the first time, and it pushed me to ride trails that I had never been willing to try before. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has exceptional capability that will have you seeing the possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. The Lexus GX comes with available dynamic sky panorama glass roof, available front row massaging seats, best-in-class towing capacity, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, and available multi-terrain select. I've seen the new Lexus GX popping up all around my town, and not only does it have the capabilities to take you to new places on and off the road, but it's a great-looking car. The new Lexus GX is ready to raise the bar for you. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Harvard Business Review provides information, tools, and practical advice on leadership, management, and strategy through the HBR.org website, their print publication, and their podcasts. HBR.org is your go-to for leadership and business management articles. A recent favorite is Stop Eliminating Perfectly Good Candidates by Asking Them the Wrong Questions. Then there are their world-famous case studies, which premium subscribers can access as well. HBR produces a number of leading podcasts, from HBR on Leadership to my favorite, the HBR IdeaCast podcast. A subscription to HBR also includes access to videos, The Big Idea, HBR Magazine, and a wide variety of newsletters. While much of the Harvard Business Review content is available for free after signing up at their site, subscriptions to unlimited content start at only $10 a month. Go to www.hbr.org/subscriptions and enter promo code ELEVATE right now to take advantage of this great offer. Again, go to www.hbr.org/subscriptions and enter promo code ELEVATE to learn more about this great opportunity to help manage your career and business. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. It helps you identify and hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. Case in point, last year I asked the CEO of a major ski resort how he got his job, and he told me that he saw it on LinkedIn and decided to apply. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. The team at LinkedIn is also constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/practical. That's linkedin.com/practical to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, and look, I've talked about this before, but what's interesting is from a cynical standpoint, if you really believe an opinion, you and you want to make sure that, you know, your side is right, you're better off deeply understanding the other side rather than dismissing it. So, you know, a political example, let's say you're a Republican operative and there's a major, you know, Democratic talking point, like and you're trying to create legislation based on that, I'd really want to understand deeply why the other side believed that and what were the core beliefs and why, because that probably gives me an opportunity to strengthen my side or improve it. I mean, again, I might come to the middle, I might not. But I actually think it's interesting when people just dismiss the other side of something rather than actually listening, because I think they can strengthen their viewpoint, position, whatever it is, by actually understanding. You might actually change more minds by saying, look, I actually understand why people believe this, and because I've listened and heard, but here's why it's a bad choice, right? It just would be a smarter strategy than kind of dismissing it out of hand.
So I think that, as with most things, there are kind of two branches of the response that you're talking about, of responding in a very aggressive way and in a very, I think probably publicly shaming is a little too strong, but I think people get what I mean. I think that in a lot of cases, it's as simple as the fact that if it is a really, really challenging belief to someone, if it is something that is harmful to them personally for a reason or not, it can be very difficult to turn off that kind of auto response system of getting defensive because you feel like you're under attack. However, I think that there is also a separate side of things. And I think that this is where social media and internet conflict comes into play. I do think that there is a popularity of signaling that you're willing to collect some casualties by really telling someone off if they have a belief that is not popular. And I think that that is something that happens a lot online. And I think that because it happens a lot online, it actually happens more often in the physical, like in-person world as well. There is an imitation of that online behavior in our public, like physical spaces as well.
Yeah. And it just doesn't produce better outcomes. I mean, we had Daryl Davis on this podcast, and, you know, he sat down. You know, these are people that just hated him for who he was, having never met him based on the color of his skin. And he would sit down with these Ku Klux Klan members and be like, I really need to understand why or how you hate me when you don't know me. And those conversations led to people quitting. You know, he had 100 people quit the Klan and send them their hoods. Like, it actually made a difference. I think even in that worst example where someone is, you know, believes that someone has, you know, completely ignorant and hatred towards them without even knowing them, you know, the curiosity of like, can you explain this to me, actually then helped him to dissipate that. And you're talking about things that actually work. And again, he's another example of someone who did this. And so I look, what did he find out in a lot of those cases? Those people that hated him grew up with a lot of hate and a lot of violence and stuff in their own lives. And did that excuse their behavior towards him? Absolutely not. Did it sort of make him feel a little better that, you know, someone who experienced hate and abuse, you know, would likely to pass that on? And, you know, it was just, that was probably part of the, you know, symptom or syndrome. Yeah, I think he probably did feel, you know, a little bit better understanding that too.
Yeah, exactly. It is not an excuse, but it is an acknowledgement of the reality of the situation, which is we need each other as people. You know, you might have very, very strong disagreements with someone that you might work with, and you still have to find a way to work together. You might have very strong agreements with, say, someone in the family that you marry into, or that your like partner comes from, and you have to make that work to have a harmonious like relationship with your partner. And in some cases, you know, in some cases you need someone to support the cause, whether it is supporting your organization, whether it's funding your organization, whether it's voting for, say, the candidate that you want to get elected. You need to win people over in order to do that. And that is really difficult, because of things like polarization. But I think because it is so difficult, that makes the type of interactions that you're describing in this post all the more important. Like, this is something that we need to get better at, but we are, I think, getting worse at it.
Yeah, look, Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election because of a single line that she said, where she sort of denigrated a bunch of people who felt like they weren't being listened to. There were a few reasons, but you know, people point to that, and I think she would take that back if she could. And again, not to turn this into a political thing, but you know, I think that's something we tend to do when we're frustrated, right? We generalize, we make a comment, we try to apply it to everyone, and we don't try to understand, you know, where that behavior is coming from.
The thing that was really kind of, well, it is true that whether that was the tipping point, it was certainly a very notable gap that campaign. That what I think, and it's possible I'm recalling this incorrectly. What I think is very interesting is that quote, while very poorly articulated, was actually kind of related to what we're talking about, which was what she was essentially saying is that of this candidate's supporters, there's a lot of them who are never going, who like love him because he is inappropriate for any number of reasons. But then there are a lot of people who, because of where they grow up, because of what their lived experiences are, because of the type of media that you consume, there are those people as well. And those people are not inaccessible if we're willing to try. So it is kind of funny because that was a huge miss. That was a huge error in speaking. That was part of a larger point that actually kind of relates to what we're talking about. And I think that really lays out what is so difficult about this.
Yeah. And there was interesting, you know, book written after it where people just went and had discussions. And I think there was a lot of talk around even after that election for people who thought that outcome could never happen and said, basically like, hey, we weren't listening to what these people were actually saying or arguing about. So it's interesting. I think, again, it's just that we've talked about this in a lot of different ways, but listening doesn't have to mean agreeing. But there's just a lot more to be gained from sitting down authentically and listening to someone, even if they have a belief that you think's pretty out there or deranged or fundamentally wrong. You're probably going to learn something by actually listening to them. And actually, what happened in that video that I was explaining earlier was just showing the respect of being willing to listen totally created a different dynamic.
I think it is fair to say that making people feel heard and making people feel understood, it's not a guarantee that it's going to make the situation better or make the problem better, but it's definitely not going to make it worse. That is something that I think a big part of angry and emotional reactions and angry expression of beliefs really does come from not feeling heard and not feeling listened to. And I know that that's like a hard thing to say, that, you know, that person who is saying something that you find repugnant or detestable, you should have a conversation with them and understand why. But I don't think that makes the situation worse. I think that there is value to trying to get more information and understanding people.
It doesn't. We've had four or five Friday Forwards that have talked about this, and they're all people that made tremendous change. I forget the one, it was about the coffee dates. It was someone in the parliament in Europe who sat down, would have coffee with people that hated her and tried to understand why and tried to understand. And all it did was create better outcomes. I think you're right. There's never a worse outcome from sitting down and being willing to have a real discussion with someone.
Exactly. And so at the end of the day, this really, a big part of this is the need for self-reflection. Because often we can understand other people's views and the roots of those views by being more reflective and in some cases self-interrogating about our own beliefs and our own roots. So I did want to ask you, because you've talked a lot about core values, you've shared a lot of your own beliefs in business and in life. What are some of the notable roots for you of some of your most important core principles?
Yeah, I think they were different childhood experiences. You know, I was very independent. I was put in an environment to be very independent. And so, you know, self-reliance became important to me. And that's a core value that's important to me. I think there are a bunch of different things. And then I think there's always your circumstance. You know, going back to that example before about sort of entrepreneurs and business owners, look, I've been one several times. I've been around them several times. I've been around hundreds of them. I've heard all of these stories. My you know, a lot of the narratives that I hear about business owners or greedy business owners or otherwise, like I have very negative reactions to those. And look, there's always outlier cases because I've just seen and heard a lot of things that I don't think people have and don't have that perspective. And I fully understand that if I didn't have that perspective, I hadn't been on the side of the ball. If I had a parent who, you know, worked in a business where I thought, you know, grew up and then they were always coming home complaining and being taken advantage of by the greedy owners, I'd probably have a very different viewpoint on that. So I think that's a good example where I have that strong viewpoint. I have because I feel like I've seen behind the curtain, but I actually do understand some of the viewpoints of other people. And I've heard those stories, right? I heard one of our, you know, guests on the Elevate podcast who's so focused on, you know, culture and better workplaces, you know, that happened because their parent came home all the time and complained about this horrible work environment they had to go to. And, you know, they'd see their parent come home and be miserable after work. And I can understand how that would shape someone's viewpoint of like, oh, big corporations and those people are really horrible. So I try to be aware of, again, I know my circumstances would be different if I grew up in a different family, if a different culture, probably in a different country under a different religion. Some of the things that I hold dearest, probably I might be on the other side of the table of.
Have you had a situation you can think of where you, after you got outside of your own experience and realized that something that you had believed was rooted in a specific experience you had that you changed your mind on?
I think I've always, I don't know, maybe initially a 180, but I would say I have constantly evolved my opinions, and I'm happy that my things have changed over time around a whole bunch of issues. There were actually a fair amount, I've talked about this, I think there were a fair amount of, you know, perspectives that I sort of was not paying attention to or listening to on different sides of the political spectrum because of some of the voices and where they came from and the sort of incendiary nature of them. But when I actually, you know, with some of the things that have gone on in the last 3 to 6 months, I I've looked into some of the behaviors and things that I felt like, oh, I think I was off, or I really didn't understand this because it doesn't align with what I'm seeing. And I've written some longer articles in the last few months in which I think is probably demonstrated an evolution on my sort of belief set on some of those issues that was probably very different from 2 to 3 years ago.
So if you're in a situation, you're talking to someone who says something that you totally disagree with, and let's say you're in a setting where it's easy to have a conversation, what do you tend to do? How do you get to the why behind it?
Well, this to me is how you break it up, you know, in the initial thing that we talked about. You break up like, is this a deeply held belief and there's an interesting experience, or is this someone jumping on the bandwagon and grabbing a sign and they don't even know what they're talking about? So I think, again, just curiosity and asking those questions like, hey, like, can you share some experiences? I'm curious, like, where does that come for you? It sounds like really, you know, passionate. And one of two things are going to happen. There's going to be a really thoughtful answer, or there's going to be like a sort of totally shallow, like, I don't know. You know, we've all seen these comedians go into these marches recently and ask people to explain some of the things that they're marching for. And they're like, I don't know, someone just gave me a sign. I just started chanting that. And so that gives you a really strong sense of where I think people are on an issue and whether it's really something you should lean into or not.
And actually, that is an encouraging part of this, is if you're not sure whether you're talking to someone who has a serious conviction of something and understanding them might help find common ground, or if you're talking to someone who you can't really have a serious conversation with, you can pretty easily figure that out based on how they respond to even that type of basic question. Like, it doesn't take very long to ask someone, and you might hear, again, like you said, they might say, well, if I saw this like thing, I read this article that said this thing from this not so reputable source. Or maybe they'll just say something that it sounds exactly like something that you heard someone say on TV. And you're like, well, I guess we know where that
comes. Yeah, look, and parroting is probably the word. Are they just parroting other stuff. And you might not want to waste your time or have a discussion with that person or listen or be like, look, but I might look in those cases. So here's a great example. I might want to be like, look, if a bunch of people are parroting something, what's the source? And now I must need to think about, like, is the source some education program or otherwise? If I want to fix this problem, now I got to get a better set. Even there, I could get some information on, like, oh, seems like they all went to this school that is all teaching them this thing. I think I need to go have a conversation with some professors at this school.
Yeah, or they get their news from the same source, or they spend a lot of time on a certain social media platform that I won't name. So the quote of the week is from BJ Neblett. We are the sum total of our experiences. Those experiences, be they positive or negative, make us the person we are at any given point in our lives. Why did you pick this quote?
Yeah, when I was looking up some quotes, this one just sort of struck me where it kind of hit the nerve of, again, our viewpoints more often than not, I think, are tied to these lived experiences, both positively and negatively. There's also a phrase that I heard recently that I've been kind of working my head on, probably a future Friday forward. It'll give a preview to that, which I think ties to this quote, that people have scars and wounds, right? And the scars tend to heal superficially, but the wounds kind of run really deep. And so sometimes you're missing how much that wound or that experience is really driven someone or impacts like what they're doing or how they're doing it, because you just don't see it, but it's there. And I found that we all have those things. They are positive, they are negative. You know, I just interviewed Kendra Scott this week. That'll be coming out in a few weeks. And, you know, she talked about how much, you know, this stepfather she had who passed away, and how much he was a positive experience in all of these aspects of her lives. And when she started her business, she was trying to emulate him and she was trying to honor him. And like, it was a positive experience, but it still had a lot of implications for how she was running her business. So those things are there. And I think for those of us who are curious and are willing to engage with people and extend some empathy, we're able to learn some more about them and then learn some more about, you know, how that's impacting the person we're speaking with.
Yeah, everyone is a puzzle, and there's always more pieces than you think. And I just think there's always something to learn if you're willing to ask questions and meet people where they are.
Yeah. Intellectual curiosity is a good skill. Ask questions, listen. These are all good things. Talking, you know, I think was you've given one mouth and two ears, you know, use them proportionally. It's a good something. I'm not as good at it, but it's a good lesson that we all should remember from time to time.
Yeah. Well, maybe not on this podcast. It may not be if neither of us talked very much, that would probably get boring pretty quickly.
Well, thanks for joining us today, everyone. If you want to check out the posts we discussed today, go to robertglazer.substack.com and look for the post entitled Experience Beliefs. Keep a lookout for future editions of Weekend Conversations coming to your feed every Saturday morning. Also, if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, make sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We have some really great guests coming up this month, and you'll be notified, and those episodes will be downloaded automatically if you're a subscriber. So until next time, keep elevating. Hello, Elevate Podcast listeners. I wanted to let you know about my friend Darius and his amazing show, The Greatness Machine. The Greatness Machine is one of the top-ranked educational and business podcasts in the country, recently ranking top 5 in the entrepreneurial category on iTunes. Here's why I love Darius and The Greatness Machine. It really comes down to a few things. The Greatness Machine has amazing guests from the likes of sports icon Gabby Reese, worldwide news sensation Amanda Knox, FBI hostage negotiator Chris Voss, and Tiny Habits expert and author BJ Fogg, to NHL Hall of Famer Chris Pronger, and hundreds more. Darius keeps it real. I always learn something new, and I have a few laughs. And he always also asks great questions and is a really entertaining and engaging host. The Greatness Machine is where you get to be a fly on the wall and listen to Darius and his amazing group of guests talk about how they got to where they are today and hear stories of people who have lived their passions to create greatness in the world and doing so despite the odds. So if you want to be entertained while learning from some of the greatest and most accomplished people in the world, this is definitely a show for you to check out. Subscribe to The Greatness Machine today on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.